Well, good morning. My name is Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. It is so good to have you here. If you are new to Raleigh, I just trust that you will really sense that we're just family. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much that He adopted us. And in this adoption process, we're brothers and sisters in this glorious family called the Kingdom of God. So welcome home. It's good to have you here. And we've got a special gift for you if you're a first-time guest. And I know you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a wonderful treat for you this Christmas week. And then also, it allows us to get better acquainted and connect with you so that we can tell you more about what's going on in the life of this church, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the course of our week. We are an active church. We're a live church, and God is doing some wonderful things in our lives. I'll tell you, this morning's message on joy is a very easy message for me to preach, because it's through the joy of life circumstances that sometimes we face our greatest challenges, our greatest tests, and yet our greatest accomplishments in our lives. Raising a family may be joyous, but it's hard work. Having a healthy marriage may be joyous, but it's hard work. Having a healthy body church is joyous, but it takes work. It takes a willingness on our part to say, it is not about me, God, but it is about you and your kingdom that really matters. And so this morning we're going to look at the shepherds in the Christmas story, and we're going to see their response as the angel said, I'm bringing you good news of great joy to all the people. And that news was Jesus Christ was born. And the shepherds got to hear this glorious news in such a way that they were able to show us what it's like to unplug from a busy lifestyle and plug into the voice of God and hear the voice, the invitation to come and see the Christ child. Well, before we read Luke chapter 2 and we see the account of the angels visiting the shepherds, I think it's important that we maybe look at the lifestyle of a shepherd, because I think sometimes when we go through the Christmas story, if we are not careful, we can make it very generic, and we can think that everybody was doing the same thing. Well, the shepherds were not normal when it came to the things of the community of Nazareth, Bethlehem, and the time of Christ. Shepherds were a little bit different, and I want to point out these differences because it just makes the story of why they were invited to see the Christ child such more amazing than just a typical narrative of going to visit a newborn. First of all, shepherds were nomads. They were a group of people that tended not to connect with their culture. They were squatters. They'd be much like our modern day gypsies. We have gypsies here in the States as well as they have in Europe and around the world. And basically, gypsies get their title not just because of their nationality, but the many ways in which they seem to live their life. They live vicariously through opportunities. And so what happens is, if there's an opportunity in one region of the world, what happens is they go to that, they seize that opportunity, they work it until it can't be worked anymore, and then they go off and do something else. So they're kind of squatters. They move from place to place in hope to make a lifestyle and a living for their family. Shepherds were kind of like that. They lived outside the city gates. They did not live in the city. Culturally, they were not a part of the city, but they lived around the city. They were looking for grass, and they were looking for water. They were looking for places to tend their sheep, their herds, depending on what type of animal these shepherds were taking care of. But they were men that tended to look for the opportunity to make a life, to make a living for themselves, but yet very private. You wouldn't necessarily have a conversation on a street with a shepherd. They would go in and they would do their business in town as they needed to, and then they'd go back to tend their flock. Another thing about a shepherd is shepherds lived outside the culture of the day. They lived outside the culture of the day. They didn't get all fixed into this lifestyle of the city. They just kind of did their own thing. Although they camped around the city and they knew the culture of the city, they neither lived it or embraced it as part of what they did. They would simply come in for supplies, and then as soon as they'd get their supplies, they'd head off back to their flocks and just kind of tend to their care of their flocks, making sure that there was water and food available for their animals. They tended not to be married. Shepherds were not marrying type of men. They seemed to be loners. They seemed to just kind of live this unplugged life 24/7. It was just them and other shepherds and the herds. That's how they seemed to exist in life. And so there really was not a lot of popping circumstance in their life. I'm sure they didn't care for their house. I'm not even sure they had houses. I think if they were like the modern day gypsies, they tended to live around their community in a way that whatever was available, that's what they would do. If there was shelter, they would stay in shelter. If not, they would be like their livestock and just kind of simply live out in the elements, bearing both sun and wind and rain, not snow. We get to deal with the snow, but they got to deal with the elements in the nature of the surrounding areas of Bethlehem and Nazareth. But I'll tell you one thing, shepherds were hard workers. They may have been different. They may not have lived in their culture of the day, but they were hard workers. To care for their livestock, it was a 24-hour-a-day experience. They needed to make sure that there was grass for their sheep. They needed to make sure that there was fresh water for their sheep. They really did need to make sure that their sheep were cared for 24 hours a day, because if they were not cared for, their herds would die and they would lose their opportunity to make a life. But there's something that I think both culturally, as I read both in history books as well as even in the culture of the day, shepherds were always under suspicion. Because they were a little quirky, a little bit different, the town people, the city folk, looked out at these shepherds and thought, there's something different about them. I don't know if we really truly trust them. The Elf on the Shelf. Many of us are familiar with Elf on the Shelf. And basically, the Elf on the Shelf gets blamed for everything that goes wrong inside our house. If a cup breaks, it's the Elf on the Shelf's problem. If there's cookies missing around Christmas time, it's the Elf on the Shelf's problem. It's his fault. We blame the Elf on the Shelf. Well, back in the time of Jesus' birth, if something came missing or broken or something was weird in the culture, it was always the shepherds that were under the microscope. I bet it was those shepherds that came in and broke this latch on my house. There was always a sense of suspicion that was in their DNA. But I'll tell you this morning, as quirky and different and almost odd as shepherds were, God still chose to use them in the nativity story that we're going to read about this morning. And maybe at times you might feel odd and quirky and out of sorts in our culture, because God has called us into this glorious relationship through his son Jesus to be different, to be transformed, to be not of this world, even though we're in this world. And sometimes we may feel a little bit out of our culture, but let me tell you this morning, God has a story written for each and every one of us as well. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it tells us of the story of what was going on the night of Christ's birth. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom favors rest.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told." And then in Luke chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "A good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. On that joyous Christmas night, as the shepherds were overwhelmed with joy and fear and opportunity, what happened is their heart sang for the joy they had for the experience, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to earth to be one of us. So this morning, I want us to kind of go through the process of what the shepherds had to do in order to find this joy, to find this relationship, to find this connection with God in flesh. To have a heart like a shepherd, I really believe it starts with believing. It starts with believing. Our mission statement here at Raleigh is believe, love, disciple. And to begin the journey of faith, it starts with a belief. It starts with believing that what has been said to us is true. I'll tell you, in my own life, I think at times when I think it's too good to be true, sometimes I psych myself out and think, no, this can't be happening to me. It's just too good. And so I sometimes have unbelief. I don't really believe for the impossible. I can think of 32 years ago when my wife and I stood before the Lord and stood before our family and about 300 guests at a wedding celebration that we were a part of. I was the groom, she was the bride. But going back a year earlier, to think that this woman would marry me, to spend the rest of her life with me, I couldn't believe it. We were great friends. We were great in the area of communications, and we loved hanging out together. But I feared that if I moved it from friendship to relationship like marriage, something would go wrong. And it almost kept me from really pursuing my wife. I almost let fear stand in my way of really believing that God had Terry as my wife for the rest of our lives. And I wonder how many times in our lives, God has a plan for our lives. God has a beautiful, over-the-top, unbelievable opportunity for us, and yet our unbelief keeps us from experiencing all that God would have us to experience. Back to the story of the shepherds. They were greeted by a heavenly host. They were spoken to by an angel. They were told that something supernatural was happening in the town of Bethlehem, and even though they could see all the special effects that were going on that night, they were still faced with the decision, do I believe this or don't I? Well, I think a lot of times you think, oh, come on. It's obvious they would have to believe. They saw angels. They heard angels. They heard music and a spoken word in them. Only an idiot wouldn't believe. Well, some 2,000 years later, folks, Christ has come. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and resurrected, and we have a living hope, and yet there is still people that to this day have not heard the invitation to believe. I tell you, the shepherds had an opportunity whether they were going to accept or reject this message that came their way. But I'm so glad that they had ears to hear and a heart to receive this message of invitation. The night the angel shared with the shepherds this awesome news of Christ coming to earth, they were not only terrified by the message, but they also had joy knowing that they had an opportunity to go and see this thing that no one has ever seen before, and that's God coming to earth. Believing or belief is something that is not only hard at times for shepherds to embrace, but even for us to embrace. Some of you this morning sit in unbelief because you're going through life's journey that seems a little hard right now. And you wonder, God, are you really in the midst of this? Are you in the midst of this disappointment? Are you in the midst of this chaos? Are you in the midst of this wound and concern and overwhelming sense of hopelessness? And yes, he is. Amidst our uncertainty, there is a God who is certain. And he's certainly working all things out for his good. And his good is our best. You can trust him. So on that night, the shepherds came. They had to come with a heart to believe. I guess my question to you on this Sunday is, do you believe all things are possible? Do you really believe that the very journey you're on right now that seems at times so overwhelming, that God is still in there speaking to you through it and working to define the person that he wants you to be? Do you really believe that God has a purpose amidst your journey? And my prayer for you is, yes, I hope you can say with all hearts clear, as hard as this is, yes, I believe God is at work in my life right now. So believing is not just accepting. There's got to be a response. We can believe in a lot of good things, but unless we do something about it, it doesn't move us to anything else. But what I love about the shepherd's story is not only did they have a belief that this is actually what was happening, there was a response. They were responding to the invitation. They were given the opportunity to come and see the Christ child, and they responded on that night. In Luke chapter 2, verse 15, after they heard all this pomp and circumstance, all this celebration from the heavenly host coming and saying, Christ is born, I love the response in verse 15. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Not only did they believe what they saw and heard what they saw, there was a response on their side to say, yes, let's go and see this very thing that the Lord has told us about. You see, their believing moved them into responding. Remember, the people inside the city were very suspicious of shepherds. They didn't trust them. They didn't even understand them. As much as the shepherds didn't understand the culture of the city did not understand the culture of the shepherds. And yet, what was happening is there was such a joyous opportunity for them to go and see something that they've never seen before. They responded with, let us go. Let's go into a culture that we're not really familiar with. We know about it, but we really don't know it all that well. But let's go in and see this thing that the Lord has told us about. I can't help but tell you this morning, you guys have not seen our village yet. I briefly have only seen our village in Haiti. But I will tell you, I hope as we continue to cultivate this relationship with our village in Haiti and here in Williamston and our communities around Williamston, I trust that there's a glorious anticipation because we are listening to a call to make a difference both locally and globally. And I hope there's an excitement, just as there was an excitement for the shepherds, that we must go and see this thing that the Lord is birthing in us right now. See, we've not seen our children yet. We've not even met the mayor of our village, but I'm excited to go and connect with God's people because God has already connected our hearts together. You see, I think many a times when we go to the responding side of our journey, that's where we find God showing up and confirming all things are possible with him. You know, this is our first Christmas, the Walkers' first Christmas at Raleigh. And it's been a great season. How many of you, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot because we're family. How many of you, is this your first Christmas at Raleigh? Would you just slip your hand up? Yeah, welcome. Merry Christmas, family. It's good to have our family increase in numbers. And I'll tell you, this is our first Christmas together, but I'll tell you, for me to get here, to have my first Christmas as your pastor, I had to respond to something that I didn't necessarily want to respond to. You see, back in the spring when I was asked to consider letting my name run as the lead pastor, Terry and I and our family were doing very, very well in Grand Rapids. We loved our church family. We really believed that God was going to keep us there in Grand Rapids, serving that community and world as well. And yet, in the response, God said, I got something else for you. Are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to believe and then respond? And so out of obedience, Terry and I took the journey of meeting with your awesome and loving and caring board of administration and really connecting with Pastor Matt and connecting with him and seeing his ministry philosophies, his family, the Kephart, joining with the Walkers and kind of doing life together. That's my phrase. Experiencing the joy of how God can bring a family together and make it so supernatural. It just humbles me at times. But it took a response. It took a response on my part as well as your part to say, yes, I'll go, and yes, we'll receive you. But I'll tell you, in the beauty of that response, what we have seen is God has greater things for us, both locally and globally, both now and into the future, because of our ability to respond to his invitation. So it's a believing that God has a purpose for us. It's a response to say, take the baby steps of faith to move forward, to do, to ask, to be what you want me to be. And then finally, the third point is a sharing. There needs to be a sharing of the minds, the sharing of the spirit. There needs to be a telling of the story that God is up to something good in my life. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17, it says, when they had seen what they had seen, they spread the word concerning what has been spoken about this child. For all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Again, guys, go back to the beginning of the message. Did I not tell you these nomads were not very social? They were not very engaged in the culture. In fact, they were unplugged from the culture. And yet now what we've got them doing is, because they saw the invitation, they responded to the invitation, they shared the glorious thing they saw on that night, and that was Christ had come to earth. God in flesh, Emmanuel, has come to set his people free. You see, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. On that night, those introverted, quiet, backwards, awkward shepherds all of a sudden had so much joy in their heart, they could not contain it, and it had to come out of their mouths to share with others. And I love the response that is shown here in Luke chapter 2. And all those that heard were amazed. They were amazed by not only the message, but also how the message was delivered to them. The message was delivered from a quirky group of people living outside their culture, speaking into their culture. You see, these quirky outside culture people came in and said the very thing that they had longed to hear, that God, Messiah, was here. And I wonder, in our lives on this Christmas time of 2017, if maybe just for a moment, if we could go back in our life's journey, where God has called us to salvation, to be a Christ follower, to take the journey of faith a day at a time, a step at a time with him, I wonder if in maybe the process, have we missed something? We have a belief this morning, and maybe we've even responded to it, but maybe the sharing piece is not as sharp as it needs to be. Maybe the worries and the concerns and the troubles of life have gotten so heavy that our hearts are not as joyous as they ought to be. In fact, our hearts have a little more worry and fret than faith. Well, can I tell you this morning, God is the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and umpteen chances in our lives. He's got a beautiful restart button all the time when we simply go to him and say, God, forgive me. God, restore the joy of my salvation. God, help me to share the glorious good news of Christ and help me to live the glorious good news of Christ in my life. I tell you guys, this next week we're on a mission trip, because some of you are going to be hosting your family who you dearly love, who are so far from Jesus, so far from this living hope that we have, so far from the joy of our salvation. And we're missionaries on a journey to go and make a difference in the lives of those that we care about in family. And so I say this Christmas season, don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity of speaking into your family, into your neighborhood, into your classmates, into those that you call coworkers or even occasional friends or acquaintances. Make sure you speak the joy of the Lord into their lives. You see, shepherds were called to speak. But we as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords have been also given that opportunity to speak, to share the good news that Christ has come to earth. Let's stand together. God, I thank you, Lord, for shepherds. I thank you, Lord, that even though they were seeming to be different than the culture of their day, yet you said that I'm going to use these people, these men, to speak the joy of the world coming to earth. God, this week, we're going to entertain or be entertained by our family and friends. And I pray, God, that we would not lose the opportunity to speak of this joy that we have found in a saving, powerful, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Use us to be the shepherds this week to speak into our culture, into our family, into our communities, so that they would hear that Christ has come. He died, was buried, and resurrected so that we might live and be freed from our sins. So God, use us, your church, your family, this Christmas time to share the good news of Jesus Christ.